It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. I'm your host, Derek Brown of FTNFantasy.com. And joined, as always, by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, I'm glad, man. Look, the grass mowers were out this morning. We had to push this back a little bit before we went live here. But hey, I'm kind of glad we did, because we had breaking news right before we came on here. Aaron Rodgers is out this week, people, with COVID protocols. I mean, good Lord, Adam. Like, this is massive, dude. Like, we were talking about this off air. Like, if the Chiefs can't win this game, do we just, like, go ahead and pull out the shovels and just put them in the ground? I mean,
We talk about it every time, like, we're about to start recording, and it's like the timing for noise around my house is, like, it's impeccable. But it kind of did help us here, because we would have recorded about, you know, a half hour or so ago, and we would have missed this news. We're obviously going to talk about players that we're going to be, you know, trading for and stuff like that, and trading away. But this is massive. I mean, you're already in a week where you have to replace Tom Brady. If you like, and now, you know, the two best quarterbacks of the last 10 years aren't going to be playing this week, 15 years, whatever. They're not going to be playing this week. And I believe we are going to miss another Mahomes-Rodgers potential matchup. I think Mahomes didn't play the last time these teams were going to play. So it's like, that's not fun. But we'll see what the kid's got. You know, Jordan Love making his start here this week in Arrowhead.
I mean, look, we know the Chiefs matchup is good, but I can definitely say I've watched enough preseason to know that I'm not going to be probably going that direction in DFS. We'll see. Still going through game by games right now, but like you talked about, man, like, we are going to dive into trade candidates, trade targets, both players we are trading for and trading away before week 9 kicks off. And every single week, Adam, we roll through all these players and we bring up Chris Meany's fantastic article over at FTN Fantasy, which if you're not signed up yet, do so right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTC, save 10%. And I mean, Meany dives through a ton of targets, like legit. I'm scrolling down this on FTN Fantasy right now. He's got like 5 players under buy low. There's another like 5 to 6 under sell high. And oh my Lord, there's like 20 players under dynasty and stuff here. It's crazy, man. Like, I'm going to share one small snippet of Meany's article, because it's a player that I've looked at and there's concern around. But Devonta Smith screams to me as a buy. And I get that there is risk here. But again, that's going to be baked into what his probable trade price is.
Oh, wait. Sorry. This is Dynasty specifically, right?
No. I'm talking about redraft, my friend. I know you're not doing it, but I know you're out. I know you're out. And I get it. I understand it.
Go trade for Jalen Waddle. If you're going to trade for a rookie receiver, go get Jalen Waddle.
I don't hate Waddle. It's nothing against Waddle. But the reason I'm talking about Smitty here is that I understand that Jalen Hurts only threw the ball 14 times last week. Again, and he has not had ceiling games. I get all of that. But again, this is all baked into what you're going to have to give up. And he's probably just going to be a throw-in for any kind of trade that you're doing at this point. If you look at Devonta Smith's schedule, and I'm not telling you to start him in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they get the Chargers, they get Denver, and they get New Orleans. But after that, Adam, oh my Lord. His schedule opens up massively. They get the Giants, the Jets, the Washington Footballs, the Giants again, and again, the Washington Footballs to close out the season. Like, that is a really good schedule, my friend. And the secondaries are all concerns on all of those teams. You're literally looking at, like, 5-plus matchups in a row for a guy that, what is he right now? I mean, what, wide receiver 4 price tag? Probably, maybe, I mean,
he's probably been three? He's probably been dropped in a lot of, like, in 10 team leagues, he's definitely been dropped. I can guarantee dropped in 10, but 12 team leagues, he's probably like on that cusp. I don't think he's, I would say, like, if you ask, you know, 10 people that are in 12 team leagues, if they would drop Devonta Smith, I would say like 8 or 9 would say no, but like there's probably the 1 or 2 that were like, okay, he he was drafted as a wide receiver three or a flex, and he's had really the week one game against Atlanta, which seems like forever ago. That was really his only good game. But yeah, I mean, the Jalen Hurts 14 pass attempt game is like a massive, massive, you know, anomaly. So, it is tough though, because like Dallas Goedert, since they traded Zach Ertz, their 12 personnel rate has obviously and unsurprisingly plummeted. Maybe that changes when Tyree Jackson's available, by the way, somebody to keep an eye on. But like their passing offense is running through Dallas Goedert right now.
It has been. I mean, Dallas Goedert was, I mean, he led the team in targets last week, but I'll push back a little bit because his only good game was not just Atlanta. I know he got into the end zone, 71 yards. He went for 122 and 7 catches versus Kansas City as well, man. Like, there's also been some other usable weeks in here, like 5 for 61, 7 for 77 against Carolina. You're looking at, like, wide receiver 3 type production. I think that he could walk into some wide receiver 3 flex-worthy weeks. If he gets in the end zone, he's only scored once this season, Adam, and, like, if we see that pendulum with the touchdown swing back the other way a little bit down the stretch versus these matchups, I think he's going to garner wide receiver 3 production in a lot of different weeks, as well as if he gets in the end zone, he's probably a wide receiver 2 in some of these weeks. So I understand all the concerns. I will own up to, like, Jalen Hurts has not been fantastic as a passer so far this season. You know, I mean, we've gone through enough games where projecting that to change is also, I mean, that's taking a leap of faith, but I think the target share can be there, and we could see, like, this passing offense can also be concentrated between Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. If they're both getting a 25% target share, even if Hurts is only throwing the ball freaking 35 times a game, you know, 30 times a game, you're still looking at guys that are going to walk into, six to eight targets a week, and that's good enough, man. So, considering what you're going to have to give up for Devonta Smith, a like meanies call here out of his article. Who's the first guy that's at least making the list for you for guys you want to trade for?
Yeah, so I would love, and I've talked about him a lot last week. We talked about him. I went on a friend of the show, Justin Boone's podcast last week, and we went through some kind of bold calls. And I said Elijah Mitchell's going to be a top 10 running back rest of the season. And it'll probably be close because he offers nothing in the passing game, right? The last couple weeks, he's pretty much locked into like 60 to 65% of the snaps. And JaMychal Hasty, I believe, has played like every third down over the last 2 weeks. But at the same time, during that same span, Elijah Mitchell's had, I think, 18 carries in both games. He's getting like 90% of the running back carries on San Francisco right now. Over the last 4 games, he's well over 80% of the team's running back carries. Cover your ears, but we know Trey Sermon is not a thing. He has not been active. He has not played a snap the last 2 games. And Elijah Mitchell is a great fit in this offense, right? Obviously, his vision's been great. Right now, if you look at it, I mean, who are the running backs you think of when you talk about ripping off, you know, long runs, right? You know, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Miles Sanders. Right now, Elijah Mitchell, on just 81 carries, I mean, 35% of them have gone for 15 yards or more. It's a top 5 rate in the NFL. Barkley is first. But that's only on 54 carries. So, like, if you don't want to include him in this, it's Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, and Elijah Mitchell. Like, he is playing at a very high level. We know the offense is going to be very fantasy friendly for running backs. Yes, Jeff Wilson could return, but, like, you can't take Elijah Mitchell off the field right now with how he's playing. And Jeff Wilson maybe gets a couple goal line carries here and there, but they're not going to take Elijah Mitchell off the field. And again, like, it's just, I understand the ceiling isn't quite what we want it to be if he's not playing on third downs, but the schedule is also incredible. I talked about it. I'm going to pull it up again, actually, here. But like,
I just pulled it up, too. Yeah, go for it. It's fantastic walking into even this week. Like, the Cardinals on paper are, at least they're rated as a good run defense. But if you look at, like, explosive metrics that they've allowed this year, man. Gash rate, like,
AJ Dillon was 6-7 yards a pop every time he got the
ball. You can run on the Cardinals. You can always run on the Cardinals. They give up big plays for freaking days, man. So I love Elijah Mitchell this week. You look at the schedule moving forward, then he gets the Rams, the Jaguars. Those are not good matchups. Minnesota is fantastic. Seattle, you can run.
And Minnesota, by the way, sorry to interrupt. Minnesota just lost Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin got hurt too, I believe, in that game. So like their D-line taking some hits right now too.
Absolutely. Then you get Seattle, Cincinnati. They've been a little bit tougher matchups, but down the stretch, they get the Falcons, they get the Titans, and then if we're talking about, I mean, I'm guessing this is championship week. The 17-game schedule still throws me off some. He gets Houston in championship week. Like, yeah, we if you're like not doing it going all the way to the hilt in week 17, if it's week 16, yeah, the Texans in championship week. Sew it up, baby. Like, that's pretty good.
The thing with Elijah Mitchell, too, is, and we talked about this a lot when we did the offseason, you know, NFL draft stuff. Like, if he came into the NFL and came out and entered the draft 2 years ago, this is a top running back in the class. And then, obviously, he stayed another year, had a down year a little bit. Other running backs kind of emerged, and he was, you know, he was drafted where he was. But, like, he's always been a really, like, really good, like, when I wrote him up for the site, like, he's got a really good combination of size and speed. Like, he looks like a prototypical every down running back, or at least an early down, you know, running back. They're obviously using Jamichael Hasty on third down pretty much exclusively, but he's looked the part. He's in a great offense for running the football, and the offense probably going to get better just overall when George Kittle comes back, which could be as soon as this week. So, yeah, like, I don't know. Elijah Mitchell, maybe I shouldn't have said top 10 if he's not going to be, like, he might not catch a pass rest here. I'm joking, but, like, he's in that Damian Harris type mold.
If he scores 1 to 2 touchdowns per week, though, it doesn't freaking matter, man.
He's,
like,
he's Damian Harris, but with more breakaway ability, pretty much.
Yes! Love that call. I said the exact same thing last week on the DFS Sunday show. I said, literally, Elijah Mitchell is bursty Damian Harris in the role that San Francisco is asking him to perform in. And you look at the offensive line and everything, all these different parts of pieces, he's basically better Damian Harris. That's all he is. And can that be a top 10 back rest of the season? Yeah, I mean, he keeps scoring freaking touchdowns. Yes, he is running routes. He's just not getting the targets, man. So if the targets actually move back in his favor as well, because if you keep running routes, you're going to draw some targets. Just to, yeah. I mean, it's a fact, man.
He's running routes, like you said, but it's hard to get targets when you're playing with Debo Adams or Devontae Samuel, because that's who he is this year. He's literally had at least 26% of San Francisco's targets in every single game this year. Every single one, at least 26. And there's been obviously games where it's been 30 to 35, even 40%. Like, he literally has a Devontae Adams
versus the Bears last week, man. Like, he gets targets every damn week. And the amount of, like, the San Francisco passing offense, not to get this off too far off a line, but people still sleep on, like, how good, I think, like, Adam, do you see that, like, we, and whether this is DFS-wise, whether this is redraft-wise, people really get married to name value and don't shift fast enough to understand production value. Like, Debo has been doing this all damn season, and now you still see some people are just now coming around to the fact that, like, he's this good this year.
Dude, he's being used down the field more, which is amazing, too. Like, he's obviously always going to be, you're going to, like, manufacture touches for him because he's so good after the catch and it's like a running back when he gets the ball. But, like, now he's getting downfield targets too. And it's like, he's gone for like 150 yards more than any receiver in the NFL this year. Like, he's been unbelievable. And like you said, like, his usage is Cooper Kupp. It's Devontae Adams. And we're not talking about it because he's obviously, you know, not in that tier in terms of fantasy, but he's not too far off. If you look at his numbers, like, he's a top 10 guy easily.
He is in that tier. Like, he is exactly in that tier.
I mean, he's not Adams and Kupp, but like,
dude, his production
has been behind them.
Right there. Right there. I mean, like, but that's the same thing, like, we see with Cooper Kupp. Like, yes, people have finally woken up to that. But, like, the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, it's like, the guy was better than Devontae Adams. He was Michael Thomas of, like, the heyday year. Like, and people are like, well, I mean, it's Cooper Kupp, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's Cooper Kupp. Like, he's playing out of his damn mind. Like, give him some respect. Stop getting married to all these name values and look at what the targets these guys are drawing. The high value touches. And, like, whether this is wide receivers and running backs. And this leads me into our next guy here, Adam. Like, DJ Moore is still not talked about, like, as well as he should be. For a guy that's fifth in target share amongst all wide receivers, he's 10th in air yard share, and dear Lord, he's top 5 in weighted opportunity. the Sam Darnold stink right now is real. And whether you want to talk about Sam Darnold or PJ Walker, whoever the hell the quarterback is going to be, you need to be trading for DJ Moore right now. And you could actually, if you wanted to wait this out and not trade for him this week, that's totally fine. He gets New England and then he gets the Cardinals in the next 2 weeks. I think that you could also make the easy case that you can go buy low after this week, because I talked about this last week, man. J.C. Jackson is that dude, and he's been shadowing, and he is really damn good. And
that's why I was off Mike Williams last week.
Dude, same, big same. And now he's going to get, DJ Moore is going to get J.C. Jackson this week. So you could even wait until after this week and buy even lower on DJ Moore. And are the Cardinals a rough matchup through the air? Yes, they have been. But after that, Adam, his schedule opens up. Then they get Washington, then they get Miami, and then they get Atlanta in weeks 11 through 13 to kind of help you charge towards the fantasy playoffs. Then they get Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa to close things out. Tampa, you know you could throw on. DJ Moore is going to be a massive part of their attack in that game, as well as New Orleans. They're not going to be able to run the ball. Marshon Lattimore is really good, and he's been really good this entire season. But where Lattimore can struggle, and where he succeeds, is versus big body wide receivers. He can get physical, body up against them, and basically piss them off. Hello, Mike Evans. DJ Moore, you're not going to be able to do that, man. DJ Moore has had multiple big games versus the Saints over multiple years. So I think he's a massive buy low guy. You could even wait until after this week, because the price is going to do nothing but drop versus J.C. Jackson. Thoughts on DJ Moore, and give me your next guy to trade for.
Are you serious?
I just want to hear you spit some love on him, man.
You're asking me if I want to trade for DJ Moore. Listen. He obviously got off to that incredible start, and he's been quote unquote bad, but he's been like, he had like 59 yards last game. He was literally like an inch away from a touchdown. He couldn't get his second foot down in the corner of the end zone, but like his bad games have been 75 yards and no touchdowns, despite this team throwing for 150 yards. Sam Darnold has been under 203 yards, I think it is, in four straight games. And in three of those games, he's been under like 170 yards. And yet DJ Moore is still giving you 70 yards most games. DJ Moore, and like you look at it, the volume is absolutely incredible. You look at our advanced receiving numbers at FTN Fantasy, he's top six in the NFL in first three targets. That's been a case for him all season long. It's not changing. Sam Darnold drops back, looks to DJ Moore. I have DJ Moore on one of my most important teams, and I have not even once considered trading him. He is not going anywhere.
I mean, look, if anybody's going to get rid of him, easily gobble it up. Absolutely gobble it up. Two more guys I want to get up in here as far as trade for candidates, because when we're making out this list, man, there are some weeks where it jumps out at you like, okay, here's a bunch of guys that we got to get up in here that we want to trade for. And sometimes we get to the trade away list or the trade for list and we're like, man, I'm struggling. This week was just littered with players that I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go get it. No, let's go. And two of those guys are Brandon Cooks and Cole Beasley. You look at Brandon Cooks' schedule, and I understand we're worried about Davis Mills. If Tyrod Taylor gets back under center for this team, then we're looking at that is a bump, because Taylor was balling out before he went out with injury. That's a bump for Brandon Cooks. You look at you marry that with the schedule, Adam. Gets the Dolphins this week. Then he gets the Titans, the Jets, the Colts, Seattle, Jacksonville, and then the Chargers. Until you get to the Chargers, where's the matchup that's scary for Brandon Cooks? So Taylor back under center, if that comes to fruition, it helps pad the floor and ceiling for Brandon Cooks. We can talk about target share, weighted opportunity for days. We all know that Brandon Cooks is inside the top five, top 10 in the NFL in all of these different metrics. So go get Brandon Cooks, buy low on him right now after a few down games. And, I mean, reap the rewards, man. Tyrod Taylor coming back, if he's the starter, it's really going to help this passing attack and Brandon Cooks specifically. Cole Beasley, it's the same thing, man. Like, he's had weeks where he's had good games and bad games. He's coming off a good game, but even in coming off a better game, one of his better games of the season, he's still not going to be expensive to trade for. He never is, and he won't be, because people have also been burned. And a lot of times he has these big games, and people are like, well, damn, I mean, he was on my bench. I'm over it. I'm over whether trying to figure out, do I start Cole Beasley? Do I leave him on the bench? What do I do with him? We know the Bills are going to be top five in passing rate for the rest of the season. Going to be a fact. Going to be top five, top 10. Cole Beasley is going to garner targets in this offense. You look at the schedule, and it's beautiful, Adam. Jacksonville, the Jets, Indy, a lot of these same teams, woo, that are not good versus the pass. Then you get New Orleans, Patriots, good matchups. I mean, well, they're bad matchups, let's put it that way. Tampa, Carolina, AJ Boye has not been good in the slot for Carolina. And the Patriots and Atlanta to close things out. These are, I mean, you're looking at it like, look, I just listed off six plus matchups for Cole Beasley moving forward as far as slot matchups. Like, he could tear up Kenny Moore in the slot. The Jets have been a little bit better, but not great. Jacksonville this week is terrible. Trey Herndon is horrible in the slot for them. So I like Cole Beasley moving forward, man. Again, we're looking at like this bucket of guys that are probably like in wide receiver three ranks for rest of the season. And if they outperform that bucket that they're currently in, whether it's Devonta Smith, whether it's Brandon Cooks, whether it's Cole Beasley, they get the touchdown production. The targets flow back their way. These are guys that could end down the stretch, considering the matchups that they're staring at, with some wide receiver 2 weeks, man, and bring you home a championship.
Yeah, I love the call. And like with Beasley, I talked about this on the recap episode when I was discussing the Bills-Dolphins game. The Bills' offense was bad in the first half. And like they obviously have, yeah, they obviously have one of the best five receivers in the NFL and Stephon Diggs. But like when this team needs to get going offensively in the passing game, it starts with Cole Beasley. And you saw that like once in that second half, Beasley got going, the offense moved the ball down the field and the Bills took over that game. So I like the Beasley call. You can even throw in Emmanuel Sanders in that mix coming off a goose egg. But Emmanuel Sanders, like, all right, how many players, like, do you think have more end zone targets in the NFL right now than Emmanuel Sanders?
Maybe two?
The answer is zero. He leads the NFL with that.
Wow.
Yeah, he leads the NFL.
Well, I heard your supposed bold call with Justin Boone, man. You want to tell the people about that one? Yeah, I think you thought start. You were making a really bold call, but it was more kind of like,
And to be fair, I thought it was too. Then I look back, I'm like, he's been pretty much that a top 30 receiver anyway this year. But yeah, it's obviously not off to a great start with him getting a goose egg. But still, you look at it, it's obviously the same schedule as Cole Beasley. He's getting end zone targets, and he's the deep target on this team. I know Gabriel Davis was playing more this game. I think they ran way more four wide, which. Not too surprising first game without Dawson Knox. But when Knox is back, Davis' stats probably go down. And Sanders remains the unquestioned deep target in this game. And he actually despite being older, like he's getting separation down the field. And Josh Allen has missed a couple throws deep down the field. And that was the case on Sunday, too. He had a step on the defender and Allen just missed him. So I like the Cooks call a lot. I love the Beasley call. And you can easily throw in Emmanuel Sanders in that same call as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of these guys, and we're listing a lot of wide receivers because this also speaks to the running back position. Running back position is hard. It is impossible to trade for a lot of these different guys. I know we mentioned Elijah Mitchell, but with the state of the running back position, have you got them? And, I mean, a lot of teams are struggling to fill out their RB2 spot, much less like have a surplus guy, like a third running back, where they're like, one, they're willing to part with them, and two, they're not like, I mean, good Lord, if injuries strike and I don't have waiver priority or if I already burnt my fab, I'm not giving up this third running back that I need, like, especially down the stretch run. So if you got Michael Carter, if you got some of these other guys, kudos, my friend, because you're going to need them down the stretch and you shouldn't be getting rid of them. Like, don't sit there and look at Michael Carter's production last week and be like, it's an outlier. I need to trade him away. That would be a really bad move. Don't do that. Don't do that at all.
Second among running backs in routes run over the last 2 weeks. And Mike White, like 40%+ of his pass attempts have gone to running backs. Like this is, I mean, maybe it changes when Zach Wilson comes back. But yeah, I mean, clearly the Jets need to, and hopefully have seen that Michael Carter needs to be 15 touches from here on out, at least.
I was told that Michael Carter, there's no way he could possibly be good for fantasy this year, Adam, because he was a fourth round pick. The Jets are garbage. I was told all these things in the preseason. Before the massive game, he was the RB35, so flex worthy. And after the massive game, he's the RB20 on the year. But again, I was told that he was total garbage and he was a fourth round pick and you shouldn't be drafting him in the eighth round of your redraft leagues.
Well, here's the thing.
Damn, I was so wrong.
I got a question on Twitter yesterday. And it was Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, rest of the season. I pretty easily said Michael Carter.
And I got that same exact question yesterday in our Discord, and I said Michael Carter because Denver, as much as we want,
it could have changed if Melvin Gordon got traded yesterday. But
exactly. And we talked about this on the podcast. Like, what was it, a few weeks ago? We were like, trade for Javonte Williams. He's a league winner. That type of upside exists for him. But something has to happen to Melvin Gordon. We're not seeing the workloads change.
It's already there for Carter.
I'm really surprised, man.
Yeah, it's already there for Carter, right? Like, he already has the path. Whereas Javonte, and again, I've talked about it. Like, we love Javonte Williams. Probably one of my favorite running backs to come into the NFL in terms of just watching in college in a while, right? Love, love, love Javonte Williams. And as much as we want him to get the ball more, and I said it, minus that awful fumble on Sunday, Melvin Gordon has played very well this year. So it's like, yes, we want Melvin, or we want Javonte Williams to play more because he's young, he's exciting, he's fun, he's really good. But let's not act like Melvin Gordon's just doing nothing with his volume and his touches. He's played very well this year, and he's not, he deserves every touch he gets. He's playing extremely well. And Michael Carter is competing with Ty Johnson. Tevin Coleman's hurt, but he's been a healthy scratch when he's been healthy. So it's really, it's, and again,
Tevin Coleman's not good.
Right. So. And even if, like, Corey Davis is back, like, Carter's still going to get 4 to 5. And again, he's running so many routes. So yeah, it's got to be Michael Carter is the number two rookie running back after Najee Harris has a season.
I mean, the schedule looks pretty damn good.
Is it him or Elijah Mitchell? In PPR, in any sort of PPR format, Carter over Mitchell, right?
Yeah. I mean, right now, considering, I mean, I think unless Elijah Mitchell, I mean, we talked about him as a top 10 back the rest of the way. He needs the touchdowns to get there. Michael Carter could be step for step right behind him if he keeps getting target share this way. You look at the rest of the season schedule for Michael Carter, not going too far off the train. I mean, nobody's probably going to be giving up Michael Carter after that massive week. So good luck. You missed the bye window. We told you about him. We mentioned him. What was that? 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, Adam? Told you about Michael Carter, said to go get him. Usage was trending up. Schedule was going to open up. They get the Colts this week, which is tough, but he can get there in the passing game. Then he gets followed by the Bills, which is, again, tough matchup. But then he gets the Dolphins, the Texans, the Eagles, which is fantastic. Saints are a tough matchup, but then they get the Dolphins, the Jags, Tampa Bay, and the Bills to close things out. So while the schedule is not a total smash, there's a good spot in there where like three of the four of those games out of five are going to be good weeks for Michael Carter. And this is assuming like he doesn't get there in the passing game. He doesn't still catch like 5, maybe 6 balls a game. And that's hard to project because, again, you know, we don't know about the quarterback change. He wasn't getting the target share beforehand. But if he still retains the passing game role and he's catching 4 to 5 balls a week, he gets in the end zone some of those weeks, he's probably walking in as an RB2. So you love to see that, man. Before we kick this over to players that we are trading away, got to get your thoughts here, man. The top list of players that are traded currently on CBS, real quick, are you trading for or away for these players? Keenan Allen is a slam dunk. We mentioned him last week. Trade for. Damian Harris, I mean, that's an obvious we're trading for him, right? Like, I don't actually know who's going to be giving up Damian Harris, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, if the Patriots are competitive and they've actually played really well this year, like, they're not going to be a contender like they were in the past, but they're doing enough to stay in games. That's all you can ask for Damian Harris, so... By the way, we just got news. Christian McCaffrey designated to return from IR and will practice today, looks like.
All right.
Still so not a lot he plays, but...
We cross our fingers right now. I'd be surprised if he got into action. And they're going to be tentative with him, man. Like, they have to be. I mean, considering, like... But this is also to say the flip side of Christian McCaffrey. When he's good to go, he's good to go. I think that they're going to be extremely cautious with him. And whenever he is deemed like he is going to come back, we're probably going to see an old Christian McCaffrey because, Lord help me, this offense needs him bad. extremely badly. So
have Sam Darnold thrown a passing touchdown since McCaffrey? I know all of his interceptions have come.
He's been bad
since McCaffrey went down. I think he has like one passing touchdown.
If he continues to play bad and Carolina like has any shot at the playoffs so they can rattle off a few wins, don't be surprised if he gets benched for PJ Walker, despite what they're saying. If he continues to play bad and Christian McCaffrey comes back, I'm not going to rule it out, man. So I don't know who the hell is trading Damian Harris away. If they are trading Damian Harris away, absolutely gobble him up, because that's insanity considering the running back position. Antonio Gibson, we mentioned him last week. I said to trade him away. Now we see Jared Patterson getting involved. His health is not good. This is a slam dunk trade away. If you could still possibly do that, I think you need to be doing it. But I don't know who the hell is going to take Antonio Gibson off your hands now, Adam.
Yeah, and it was super frustrating because obviously Gibson's been dealing with the shin and he's been limited in practice and questionable on Friday and then ends up playing. But last week he was practicing in full, was not on the injury report. And then he loses carries and actually gets out carried by rookie running back Jared Patterson. So, yeah, I know they have the bye this week, so maybe he can get close to 100%. I don't think he's going to be 100% this year. He's playing with a fracture. Like, and there's already the concerns because the passing game work has not come to fruition. So, yeah, I mean, it's your typical, you know, hold situation because you can't get much for him and nobody's really trading for him at this point. Maybe some people because we do need running backs and he's going to get, you know, 12 to 15 touches, but it's looking like a lost year for Antonio Gibson. It's very disappointing,
man.
It's not even just the injury too. Like, that's awful in itself, but the fact that this guy was a converted receiver at Memphis and was so good in the passing game and they're just not even trying to get him involved there. It's just, I don't get it. Like, J.D. McKissic is very good in that role. I understand. But, yeah. Like, you're not, like, you make all these, you know, comparisons and, yeah, we're going to, he's Christian McCaffrey-like and we're going to use, like, and you're just not. Like, you're just not. And on a team that has Terry McLaurin, a receiver, and then, woof. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not getting him more reset? I don't get it.
I mean, when you can... I mean, when you can feed targets to DeAndre Carter, you got to, right? Adam Humphries, like, you have to, right?
And
the reason I'm laughing so damn hard at that is literally, okay, Halloween has surpassed, and we're watching, because this is where my kids go. They're like, okay, Halloween is done. Thanksgiving's not even here. And we're like the damn department. We're like Walmart right now in my house. My kids turned on freaking Home Alone last night. And so the only thing when you're bringing
fair,
up.
That's a movie you can watch whenever, dude.
It's true. Because my kids were begging me last night. They're like, can we watch Home Alone? And I was like, fine. Yes, you can watch Home Alone. Because we could watch Home Alone if it was in the middle of the summer. I don't really care because I love Home Alone. So when you bring up that and you're describing the Washington football's wide receivers, I can't help but just laugh the entire time, man. I don't understand the Antonio Gibson usage outside of the injury. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because why are they not getting him involved in the passing game? I get J.D. McKissic is good in that role. Not disparaging J.D. McKissic, but Antonio Gibson has been really good in the role, too, whenever they've actually featured him in the passing game, man. So, I mean, outside of that, we got two more players I want to bring up. One of them you are going to bring up in your trade away.
Foreshadowing.
Joe Burrow is a definite smash trade for. If you could possibly get him in one quarterback leagues, I talked about it. Like, his floor and ceiling combo for the rest of the season. Passing rate has been amazing. I put this out on Twitter yesterday when we got the pace and the pace tool update for FTN Daily, which you need to go check that out. It is beautiful. Our tool suite is amazing, man. All the stuff that our team over at FTN Data provides and the hard work that they go through every single week provides amazing insight into all of these teams, these games. And if you look at the
makes
pace
our
tool,
jobs easier.
Oh my lord. I mean, when you got a Moss metric out there and we're finding Easter eggs on the damn site weekly still, you know it's amazing. Looking at the pace tool yesterday, oh dude, Cincinnati, since week four, week five, first in the NFL passing rate, baby. You love to see it. So if you can go get Joe Burrow, absolutely do that, man. His floor and ceiling combination for the rest of the season is fantastic. Like, literally, if they don't go up pace any more than what they're doing, and over the last few weeks, they're 14th, so that is trending up. But if they don't, he's Ryan Tannehill. Talked about this. If they go up in pace and they magically keep rising and rising, you have a Dak Prescott type of upside. Like, Burrow can be going for 300, 400 weekly, 350 on the regular with 2 to 3 passing. He's literally been almost a lock, a stone lock, Adam, for 2+ passing touchdowns. Like, legit, the dude, I think, has gone for 2 passing touchdowns or more in every single game this year. So if you can get Joe Burrow, you're probably not getting him in Superflex leagues, or you need to pay up. But even in one quarterback leagues, if you consider and make a lateral move from a low-end QB1 to a Joe Burrow, like, get him at, you know, like, hey, let's trade quarterbacks. Like, let's, you know, they're not that valuable, blah, blah, blah. You can make that upgrade? Absolutely do it, man.
Yeah, and, like, you see, like, with every week he looks more comfortable, the Bengals open up the playbook more and throw the ball more. And now we're seeing the passing rate that we hoped to see in the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I mean, Burrow looks great. And we obviously know, what, Dallas, Tampa Bay, the only teams with a better, you know, trio of wide receivers in the NFL, most likely. I mean, Buffalo's up there just because they're really good, but, like, Jamar Chase and Higgins are better than Beasley and Sanders at this point, I would say. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously exciting for Joe Burrow.
Well, and now that I've given all this love about Joe Burrow, now I'm going to sit here and sound like I'm talking out the other side of my mouth here. And I'm going to tell you to I know, it sounds really,
I actually forgot that you had this player on this list. Right? And I was like, huh, but I get it.
All right. I mean, okay, so let me set this up for you people. Tyler Boyd is a trade away, and I know I just talked about Joe Burrow, and I'm telling you how much and how awesome he is. The simple fact is that T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are the main pass catchers for this team. You have Tyler Boyd. Since T. Higgins came back, he's not even seeing a 20% target share. He had no red zone role up until last week. You look at, I mean, and this is a good time to sell high on him. 8 targets, 5 catches for 69 yards, and a score. I mean, outside of this game, and then earlier in the season when I think it was the Jacksonville game where he blew up, but there was no T. Higgins in that game, you're looking at a bunch of snooze fest from Tyler Boyd. This passing attack, and especially the deep passing attack, runs through Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Both of these guys are seeing over 25% target shares since T. Higgins' return. They garner almost over 70% of the deep passing in that stretch for this team. Tyler Boyd's being left out in the cold, man. Like, look, if you can get rid of him whether it's upgrading at the wide receiver position or upgrading another position, I think it's a move that you can make and you should be making right now. And I know it sounds really stupid considering I just told you how much I love Joe Burrow rest of the season and saying, well, but one of his wide receivers, even on a passing team that we know is passing the ball more and more and more and more, why do I want to get rid of him? It's because there's only so many targets to go around, and Higgins and Chase are eating up so much of this passing attack and the high value touches that Tyler Boyd's just not going to get there on most weeks.
Yeah, and last week we talked about T. Higgins as a buy low, and he almost had 100 yards, but he was used down the field more last game, which you love to see. And I don't like saying, like, oh, this player almost scored a touchdown, but he almost scored, like, 2 touchdowns in that game. Yeah, like, we've seen when all 3 receivers have been healthy, Boyd's been, like you said, under 20% target share. He's, like, 4 receptions per game. And yeah, he scored last week, but he's been, like, well under 50 receiving yards per game. He's clearly been the number 3 option in this passing game when all 3 are healthy, and I don't expect that to change going forward despite the Bengals throwing the ball more. So I'm fine with the Tyler Boyd call.
And you could honestly make a good case because in 2 of the last 3 weeks, Joe Mixon has seen a 14% target share or higher.
His passing really game usage has been so inconsistent this year.
He has 3 games. He's not playing on third 14%.
Down. Hasn't Chris Evans been out the last 2 games?
He has. Yep.
There you go. So I would imagine if Chris Evans is back, we see Mixon play way less on third down because Samaje Perine himself was already taking some third down work. But again, the point is Mixon's going to get targets when he's given that role.
I mean, the point is that the third role in this passing attack is not definitively Tyler Boyd. You know, right. Like it could be Mixon, it could be the running back position. So if he's not even the third option in the passing attack on some different weeks, if he's the fourth, hell, if CJ Uzoma is getting into the mix, which we've seen that from time to time, not a ton of targets, but high efficiency, then again, this is all things that are taking production out of Tyler Boyd's pocket, man. Close us out here, Adam. The player that you're trying to bring up here, and this hurts my heart, but I agree with you, to trade away right now, considering what we've seen since Juju went out.
Yeah, let's stay in the division. A lot of us expected a massive jump in targets and volume and opportunity for Chase Claypool once Juju Smith-Schuster was shut down. Really hasn't been the case. We talked about it yesterday, right? If Deontay Johnson walks into an NFL stadium and plays the majority of the snaps, he will have 10 targets or more. That is just, it's one of the laws, right? It's one of the laws of football. And that was the case last week. We know Najee Harris is among the league leaders at running back in routes and targets, and he's going to get a ton of work.
He leads the team in red zone targets, Adam. Like, I don't think enough people know that. Like,
I didn't know that.
Lord.
I didn't know that. And then we talked about Pat Freiermuth yesterday. He's a huge part of the offense now. And it's like, yeah, Claypool will get 4, 5, 6 targets, but Roethlisberger's bottom 5 in deep completion rate, which should surprise nobody. Nope. And Claypool's role hasn't changed. Like, Do you remember the Eagles game last year where Chase Claypool said, I'm here. Like this, I'm here. I've arrived. He played primarily in the slot and was unstoppable. And with Juju out, he really hasn't played the slot that much. And it's like, they have him on the perimeter with a quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field. And it's just like, it's kind of like reminding of Laviska Shenault, but he's actually like, he can play that outside role. It's just the offense isn't suited for it, so why not move him around? You know, he should be moving in the slot and out wide, and it's just like Freiermuth there. He still has like wide receiver 3 potential, but I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver 2 like we probably thought he would once Juju Smith-Schuster went down. Sucks. And it sucks because Claypool clearly, I mean, he probably makes like an incredible play every week, right? Like he's an awesome player, but he just doesn't fit the offense really well right now.
I don't even know if it's that. Like, why Ben Roethlisberger is Ben Roethlisberger. I've never been a Ben Roethlisberger proponent, stan, whatever. And Roethlisberger, I don't know, like, just hates the man. I don't get it. Like, Claypool's oozing with talent.
It's
man.
Not
like,
that, man. It's literally matches. Just because he loves Deontay Johnson. Like, it's insane how many games he gets 10 to 13 targets. And that's not going to change. By the way, we might as well get the hat trick for the AFC North receivers. Odell Beckham was excused from practice today. Not sure what's going on there.
I mean, did you see all the stuff on social media yesterday? Dude, he came out and like there were multiple like stuff off of Instagram and things like that where people were like, yeah, Baker just hates this guy. And he's
LeBron even tweeted
comments.
About it. Did you see LeBron tweet about it?
I saw that, man. And like, I mean, what are you expecting? Like, put it this way, and I get that we could all pull up the All 22 and talk about Odell Beckham running downfield and he's open and Baker's missing him and stuff like that. Since Jarvis Landry's return to this offense and the entire season, you could look at different metrics, yards per route run, all these different things. Jarvis Landry is catching passes from the same damn quarterback, yet he's actually been effective when he's been targeted. What's your excuse, Beckham? Like, I mean, like, you're running free and it's just Baker every time airmailing you? I'm not saying that Baker has been good. Not saying that at all. But to not lay some of this at the feet of Odell Beckham as well is ridiculous to me. Because after a certain point, it's like, how many freaking targets has he dropped this year? How many times have we
seen one
he has
week.
Not been effective? Like, you could pull up the All-22 and we could dice it up. Like, he's been open on some of these routes. He's also been bad on other routes. You know, so it's not all on Baker and it's not all on Odell, but He's being excused from practice. I mean, you're taken to the social media streets and your quarterback's playing through basically a ripped up shoulder to try to like gut it through for this team. And say what you want about Baker now or in the past. I mean, yeah, I don't blame the Browns for being like, nah, this is bullshit.
Yeah, like he had a play where he went across the middle from 15 yards out, and like it wasn't a perfect throw from Mayfield, but it was easily catchable. And Odell, instead of just grabbing it with two hands, tried to make like a one-handed catch. And I didn't think it was necessary. So it's not a great situation right now, but I mean, if he gets cut, the Saints might be
Saints were already trying to trade for him. They just couldn't come to fruition. And we didn't even talk about the Michael Thomas news with him being out because,
yeah,
honestly, it doesn't really move the needle a ton.
I didn't expect him to play for a little bit anyway.
No. It was always up in the air. It was always up in the air when he was coming back, what his effectiveness was going to be, when we were even going to see him, if that was going to be in the regular season or not. I mean, the guy hadn't even returned to practice yet. So it was always up in the air. So the fact
it
that
it stinks too, because he had a chance to catch passes from Philip Rivers this year.
Don't you put that evil on me.
Listen, I hope Taysom's back this week because
people keep talking about Rivers, man. I don't see that happening. Do you?
I think he legitimately wants to come.
He wants to come back to a winning team. But you see that
in
actually
general,
happening?
Though, when he retired last year, he left. He'd never closed the door. Like he's left the door open. What if Breeze came back?
Oh, Breeze. If I was
Breeze,
did
you ever see The Replacements?
Back. Yes.
Do you remember the scene?
Yes.
I'm just asking. It's one of my favorite movies ever. Do you remember the scene at the end where, Falco doesn't start the first half? He's not on the team anymore. And he comes out of the tunnel to start the second half of that last game. The crowd goes crazy. That's going to be Drew Breeze if he comes out of the tunnel. Dude, they're going to go nuts. That'd be so cool.
If Drew Brees came back, you would see, like, cause I had, I'm not even gonna lie, like, I almost had freaking tears in my eyes whenever he retired. It's legit one of my favorite players to ever even put on a pair of cleats, man. Anybody not knowing, I mean, from being from Louisiana and knowing what he's done for that state, that region and stuff, coming back from everything they've come back from with all the hurricanes and stuff has been fantastic. Outside of everything else, like, when you want to dice it up, like, Steve Gleason's foundation, local stuff, like, Drew Brees is, I mean, he's an icon down here. So, I mean, I was really sad. If he came back and he rode back in on the white horse and he was here to save the day, I would not hate that at all. And I understand that, like, yes, Drew Brees looked cooked and all those different types of things. He's been dealing with multiple injuries. So, if we talk about Brees, we talk about Rivers, we could sit here all day talking about all this, man. But this is all to say that these are all the players that Adam and I have rolled through here. Laundry list of players for you to trade for, trade away before week 9 action kicks off this week. Go get them or get them off of your teams. Adam is going to be back later this week rolling through the DFS game by game breakdown. Do not miss that. For Fade the Chalk, we're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.